Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Bloody Angola, a prison podcast 142 years in the making, the complete story of America's bloodiest prison. And I'm your host, Woody Overton. And y'all, let me start out by saying this. I have been down. I have been out. And my brother and my co-host, Jim Chapman, has covered for me for so many weeks now that I can't count. And today, I'm going to give him a little rest, a little breather, if you will, and because I love him, and he's carried me not only on Bloody Angola, but on Real Life, Real Crime Daily and everything else. So, Jim, sit back and enjoy this one, brother. All right? Y'all, I want to tell you about some prison escapes. Now, you get locked up, you get sentenced, and you got to do your time, especially if you got life plus and you know, or 90 years, 100 years, I can guarantee you, you're sitting inside every day. Most of them are sitting inside every day thinking about escaping. What if I could escape? What if I could get free and remain free forever, right? And but most of them, most of the convicts, you know, either they're not smart enough or don't have the balls enough, or they just don't want to take the chance, right? But you know, in some countries, I can't, like some Central American countries, and I can't think of which ones that I read about. If you escape, they expect you to try to escape. They say it's human nature. You're going to try to escape. If you escape and they catch you, they don't even add more time to your sentence. They just expect that's the way it's going to be. Now, in Louisiana, if you escape, like from Bloody Angola, and we've told y'all about some escapes in the past or attempted escapes, et cetera, you escape, you get an automatic 10 years added to your sentence. Now, if you break out and you kill somebody or, you know, do whatever crimes to on the street to remain free, you're going to catch those charges too. But just escape itself, simple escape, without taking hostages or anything, you're getting an additional 10 years. Well, fuck. If you got life, what does it matter, right? But I was thinking about escapes from the rest of the prisons and you know, how it's been documented over the years and from the first ones and the most horrible ones and whatever. And I said, you know what? This is a prison podcast. Let's talk about escapes, okay? And so what I'm going to do today is start, because there's so many of them, y'all. It's like 130 pages of escapes that have been noted and that are famous. So I'm going to take you way back, probably since they started recording escapes, and tell you about escapes. All right. So we'll name this episode Escape History. All right. So let's go back to the 13th century. 13th century, y'all. And in 1244, while in prison in the Tower of London, Griffith ap Lilian Farr, he was locked up, right? And so what did he do? Fuck it, he didn't want to be locked up. In the Tower of London. And he made a rope. And this is probably pretty common throughout the history of escapes. But he made a rope of bed sheets and clothing, right? Tied with a bunch of knots in it. And he lowered it out the window and he climbed down to escape, right? But Tower of London is tall as fuck, right? And he's climbing down his homemade rope, and guess what happened? He was too heavy. The boy must have been eating too much. I doubt they had commissary, but too much prison victuals, if you will. And when he's climbing down that homemade cloth rope, it fucking broke, and he fell and cracked his head on the cement below, and he died, right? And that's the first one that's pretty much been documented in history. So there's one. Now let's move forward to the 17th century. And in the 17th century, in 1621, the year 1621, there was an author, a Dutch author by the name of Hugo de Groot, G-R-O-O-T. And he was locked up in the Loevestein Castle, right? Well, he escaped. And how did he do it? He hid himself inside a book chest. And somebody smuggled him outside. Guess what? He got away. There's nothing else written about him other than he was locked up. And I guess they busted the people that helped him or whatever. I don't know. But he got away. Who knows what happened to Mr. Hugo de Groot, right? Interesting. Let's go to the 18th century. And in the 18th century, there was an Englishman by the name of Jack Shepherd. And y'all, he was a burglar and he loved to steal shit, right? Just a bad guy. And in 1723, he was arrested and locked up five times for being a fucking thief and a burglar. But guess what? You know why they locked him up five times? Because he escaped four of the five times, right? They couldn't hold him. He's like El Chapo. This made him the most notorious public figure, and it made him like Robin Hood with the poor people. They were like, fuck yeah, you know, this dude keeps escaping. And they didn't have TV and shit back then. This was entertainment for him. That's what he did. But evidently the fifth time, they figured out how to lock him up and keep him up, and that's where he stayed, all right? So fast forward about 33 years, and in 1757, there was an Italian author and adventurer. Now, let's talk about that for a second. I guess anybody could be an author and anybody could be an adventurer, right? That, if they wrote what Woody Overton did when he was young, and I guess I was an adventurer, right? I traveled different places and doing whatever. That term could be used loosely, but the Giamonico Casanova, right? And he was locked up, and he escaped from prison in 1757 and was never seen again. Who knows? Might have been dead. Might have got outside the country. They didn't have the NCIC computer and Interpol and all that. But homie Giacomo Casanova escaped in 1757, and as far as I know, he was still running free till he died. Speculation. All right. In 1781, a guy named Samuel Smedley, he was locked up in the Old Mill Prison in Portsmouth, England. And guess what? Not a lot of information on old Samuel Smedley, but he escaped, never captured. Pretty cool, right? Different times you could have gone to, you need passports and shit like that. You could have escaped from England and took a boat across the channel and lived in France. Who fucking knows, all right? But speaking of French, we're going to talk about a guy named Eugène François Vidicot. And he was a French criminal who actually turned into a criminalist, and he was considered to be the father of modern criminology. And of the French, he became a member of the French National Police Force. But when he was locked up, y'all, he escaped multiple times in between the years of 1795 and 1796, right? And over the course of a few weeks, at the age of 20, while he was locked up in captivity with the help of Francine, and he escaped, a lady named Francine. He escaped, but every time he escaped, he was always captured almost immediately. And he is also regarded as the first private detective ever. And the former criminal became the founder and the first director of France's first criminal investigative agency, the Sûreté Nationale, as well as the head of the first known private detective agency. Now, that's pretty cool, right? I think there's a fine line, and I've always said this, a fine line between a criminal and a cop, you know, maybe they just never got caught, right? But he became the first criminalist, first private detective in history. But he escaped numerous times, and before he turned his talents, if you will, to be, the first criminalist in modern criminology, the father of modern criminology. I guess I know some shit that he passed down. I don't know. But we'll see. All right, let's go to the 19th century. And on the 27th of November of 1863, John Hunt Morgan and six of his officers, most notably Thomas Hines, escaped from their cells in the Ohio Penitentiary by digging a tunnel from Hines' cell into the inner yard, and then they climbed a wall with a rope made from bunk coverlets, y'all, basically blankets, right? And a bent poker iron. Now, I think the poker iron was probably used to hook the wall tied to the blankets and escape. So when they said officers, I guess they mean six other convicts. So think about that. Back then, and I know this because I studied in college, I studied the history of prisons, et cetera. Back then, prison was like fucking hard. Okay, they didn't believe in the reform part. You couldn't talk to the other convicts. They, you know, marched you in silence. You broke rocks all fucking day long. I mean, it was bad conditions. But as I told you, it's human nature. We want to get the fuck out, and they did that, right? So that's the first one on record in the United States of America. Pretty cool. So let's go to the American Civil War, all right? And they had a prison named the Libby Prison. And what do prisoners do? They try to escape, right? Well, and Libby Prison was no different. And then the Libby Prison escape during the American Civil War, over 109 Union or American POWs broke out of a building at Libby Prison in Richmond, Virginia, on the night, of February the 9th. That's crazy. Now, I mean, the American Civil War, right? So it's the U.S. versus the Southern states, the Confederacy, and y'all, they said that those prison conditions were like the worst in the world. And it was bad if you were a Southern soldier locked up, but at least they, you know, fed you a little bit. If you were a Union soldier locked up in the South, you were fucked because, you know, they didn't even have enough food to feed themselves, much less the prisoners. And that's just, you didn't want to be locked up in a Southern prison. But anyway, so on the night of February 9th, 1864, the 109 of the prisoners of war, the Union prisoners of war, the American, United States soldiers, they broke out. Now, 59 of the 109 prisoners made it back to the Union lines. Think about that. I mean, you got to fucking respect that shit. They're in Richmond, Virginia, the heart of the Confederacy. They escape. And however they did it, 59 out of 109, that's 50%, made it back to the Union lines. But, you know, they had to cross rivers and all that shit. And two of the escapees were drowned in the nearby James River, and the other 48 were recaptured. Pretty cool. I mean, not cool for them, but pretty interesting, if you will. All right. So let's see, let's go to tell you about a guy who's an anarchist activist named Peter Kropotkin, and he escaped from a low security prison in St. Petersburg. Now, he hid himself in one of the finest restaurants there and later moved to England, right? Meaning that once he escaped the prison, he had some help at wherever this is in St. Petersburg, and they hid him in the restaurant until they were able to sneak him away on a ship to England, where he lived out his days. Pretty cool. All right. Everybody has heard of the outlaw Billy the Kid, right? Well, what you don't know is Billy the Kid actually went to prison at one point. And he went to prison in 1881. And guess what? He escaped. And another famous name, he escaped, but he was captured by Pat Garrett. You go watch any of the Western movies about Billy the Kid. Billy and Pat Garrett were actually friends before Billy turned into a full-fledged fucking outlaw. But Pat Garrett, not only, how did he catch him? He shot him. Shot him. And it was only a few months after he escaped. Crazy. American history. Let's go back to Italy. In Italy, in 1899, in the Italian brigand Giuseppe Mussolini escaped from prison in 1899. And y'all, this dude was a bad dude. And when he escaped, he started killing mothers. And he went on a killing spree. But it wasn't just anybody. He didn't just kill anybody walking down the street. He had sat in prison fantasizing about killing the people who testified against him. And guess what? He did it. He went out and he killed everybody who testified against him at his first trial. But 2 years later, they captured him in 1901 and he went back to prison, right? Some of these end well for the convicts, some of them not so much. All right. Let's go to the years of 1900 through 1949. And we'll start in 1901. And a guy named Lum Yu. That's L-U-M, last name Y-O-U. Now, Lum Yu was convicted of murder in Pacific County, Washington. And guess what they gave him back then? Death. He was sentenced to death. Now, the public didn't like it for whatever reason. He enjoyed great public sympathy, including from some of the county officials where he was sentenced to death. Now, it's said that these county officials allowed him to escape by leaving his cell door unlocked at night. And eventually, he was like, well, I guess it's not a trick. They've been leaving my door open, and he hauled ass, right? But within a few days, he was recaptured.
It is summertime, and you can cut down on your time in the kitchen so you can get back to enjoying the summertime sunshine thanks to HelloFresh's quick and easy recipes. Every week's menu features options that are ready in just 20 minutes or less. That's even quicker than delivery. Heading out for vacation? No problem. Just update your delivery address and enjoy easy HelloFresh meals at your vacation destination. Plans are flexible, so they work with your changing schedule. Look, going to the grocery store, searching for ingredients, for me? Well, it always ends up like a trip to the dentist. Painful and time-consuming. That's why I turn to HelloFresh. The time I save not researching how much garlic to add to my spaghetti or what aisle the ginger root is on allows me more time to research the largest maximum security prison in America, and I love that. And that crunchy, hot honey chicken? Don't even get me started on how good that meal is. Go to HelloFresh.com/BloodyAngolaApps for free appetizers for life. One appetizer per box while subscription is active. That's free appetizers for life at HelloFresh.com/BloodyAngolaApps. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
They tracked him down. He surrendered, and he was recaptured. Crazy. And I'm assuming he's dead, y'all. I'm dead as fuck, but I should have looked that up more. So let's go to, this would have been during World War I. And there's a German Naval Air Service Kapitän Lieutenant Gunther Plaschow. And he escaped from the Donington Hall prisoner of war camp in 1915. So that's either French or English, sounds English to me. But, you know, our officers in the United States military, or everybody in the United States military, is trained. If you get locked up, you give your name, social security number, that's it. But it is your duty to try to escape. Now think about that. And all the great escapes and the movies they've made about them and stuff like that. That is your job. Once you're locked up, your only job is to stay alive, number one. Number two, escape if you can. And this is probably one of the first reported after the, you know, the Union, the Civil War escapes and stuff that I told you about. So he escaped. And let's go to this next guy. Now, this is unique. His name was Frederick Mors, M-O-R-S. And he was an Austrian-born American serial killer. Now, he was they got him, right? They lock him up, but they said, this motherfucker is cray-cray. And he was legally declared insane. And he was placed into the Matteawan Institution for the Insane in the United States in 1915. Well, just because you're insane doesn't mean you don't want to escape. And then, so Frederick Mors escaped in 1916 and was never seen again. But he supposedly resurfaced in Connecticut in 1917. And his body was possibly found in 1923. But they said it was a suicide. Interesting. I mean, you know, no DNA, no national databases and all that. But I don't know. Maybe they killed him. Maybe it was suicide. I don't know. Let's stay in 1921. And in 1921, at the age of 22, Victor Folk Nelson made a widely publicized escape. Like, it was famous. It was sensational. Remember, you know, the news was the only entertainment back then. Like, I think radios and shit were just out, right? So you got it by newspaper. But Victor Folk Nelson made a sensational and highly publicized run and escape from a line of 13 prisoners after he attended the church or chapel at the Charleston State Prison. Now, despite an attempted intervening tackle from a prisoner, trustee, remember we told y'all on Bloody Angola that you have prisoner trustees, and back then it was a way to keep the guard calls down and everything else. So this dude and 12 other convicts were being escorted by prison guards, and he's like, I didn't really want to go to church. I want to run. One of the trustees tried to tackle him, and there were bullets from a guard's gun fired at him, right? At Nelson. Now, Nelson ran for a ways, and he jumped and caught the lower end of the window bars, and then he scaled the 40-foot-high wall of the prison's Cherry Hill section. 40 feet, y'all. This motherfucker's like Spider-Man. And at the top of the wall, he performed what was always believed an impossible stunt, throwing his body across a 10-foot space to the outer wall, where he managed to catch hold of the nearby structure. And then he dropped 30 feet down to the Boston and Maine Railroad tracks. He was convinced to voluntary return to prison by his respected mentor and progressive penologist, Thomas Matt Osborne, several months later. I told you they wanted to escape. Some got the balls, and some are smart enough to have the opportunity. This cat avoids tackle, avoids guards' bullets, and then he fucking scales a 40-foot wall, jumps 10 feet, catches another wall, drops down. But later on, he was like, fuck it, I'm tired of hiding. And his mentor gets him to turn himself in. Fuck you, mentor. I've still been running. All right, let's go to 1922. And in 1922, an IRA bomb blew a hole in the wall in the jail of Dundalk County, Louth, Ireland. And 106 IRA prisoners escaped. Now, a few weeks later, these same prisoners returned fully armed and took over the whole prison. And you know what they did? They freed the rest of their comrades in arms. They were freed all the remaining prisoners. That's some serious shit. You know, that shit's been going on forever, y'all. The IRA against the English, right? That I had never heard of that one. That's crazy. That might be a story to look up for another day. All right. So let me tell you about a guy named Leonard T. Fristo. And he was born January 15th of 1893. Now, he lived a pretty shitty life, and he was in prison for double murder in 1920. He didn't just murder anybody, y'all. He murdered two sheriff's deputies in Nevada, right? Well, you know what's going to happen to you. Well, they lock him up in Carson State Prison, which was a bad place in itself. But guess what? He escaped in 1923 after seizing an opportunity to escape. And after he and another inmate drove the police warden to a brothel. You can't make that shit up. So maybe he was like a trustee or something, and you're down for double murder. And the police warden's like, I'm pretty sure he wasn't worried about a DWI. But for whatever reason, this cop, this police warden, gets them to drive him to a whorehouse, and he runs. Now, check this out. He lived for 47 years under the alias of Claude R. Willis before being turned in by his son, right? Claude R. Willis Jr., after an argument. It must have been a hell of an argument, right? He stated that he only killed the deputies because they fired at him first. And he also confessed to killing a man named Roe in, that's R-O-W-E, in C-U-R-E-R-O, Curo, Texas, about 2 years after his escape. Now, after serving 5 months in prison, the Nevada Pardon Board ordered he be released from the Carson State Prison, despite the fact he had only served 3 years of the life sentence that was given him in 1920 for the murder of the two deputies. And he admitted to killing another dude, right? But while the chairman of the board, Governor Paul Laxalt, disagreed with the killing of the two deputies, he saw no point in keeping the frail old man in jail, stating that 5 months behind bars is psychologically years, it's just tough or on the psyche of a 77-year-old man. And guess joke's on them. This dude lived for a long time, and he died of a respiratory infection on the 13th of March of 1976 in Denver City, Texas. Wow. That shit should be a movie in and of itself, right? I mean, it's crazy. Different times, y'all. Different times. So let me tell you one that you all know about. And it's been in all the movies. It was America's number one criminal at one point in time. And this man's name was John Dillinger. Now, John Dillinger is just a fucking bad guy, right? They sensationalize him in movies and everything now. But, I mean, he just was a fucking killer. And they couldn't hold him. So Don Dillinger was locked up in Indiana State Penitentiary at Michigan City until 1933 when he was paroled. Great. Gets out, right? Wonder what the first thing he did when he got out. Go get a cheeseburger, a bottle of whiskey, or a hooker. But within 4 months, 4 months of being paroled, he was back in jail in Lima, Ohio. Now, he had a gang, y'all. He didn't roll by himself, right? When he's locked up in Lima, Ohio, his gang busted him out. And when they were during the breakout, they killed the jailer, Sheriff Jesse Sarber. And most of the gang was captured again by the end of the year, and they were locked up in the county jail in Crown Point, Indiana. Most of the gang was captured again by the end of the year, and they got them in Tucson, Arizona. Then this was due to a fire at the historic Hotel Congress, all right? So this is where they were staying. Fire happened. Cops recognized them. I don't know, but they called them. Dillinger was sent alone to the Lake County Jail in Crown Point, Indiana, right? Break them up. They can't conspire to escape, etc. He was to face the trial for the suspected killing of a police officer, William O'Malley, during a bank shootout in East Chicago, Indiana. Now, y'all remember, this motherfucker was bad. He killed people everywhere he went, and they didn't even charge him for half his crimes. But sometime after his escape from jail, that's when he did the killing in Chicago, Indiana. But during this time, they brought him back to trial, right, for this. And during this time on trial, a famous photograph was taken of Dillinger putting his arm on the prosecutor, Robert Estelle's shoulder, when the reporters suggested for him to do this, like it would be a great public interest piece, and evidently it was. It became a very famous photograph, right? So let's go on about Dillinger. After the trial on the 3rd of March, 1934, Dillinger escaped from the escape proof, as it was dubbed by the local authorities at the time, at Crown Point, Indiana Jail, which was guarded by many police officers and National Guardsmen. Now, this motherfucker's so bad, the governor called out the National Guard to guard him because he keeps escaping, right? Newspapers reported that Dillinger had escaped using a fake gun made with wood and a blackened, and the fake wooden gun was blackened and shined with shoe polish to make it look real. I'm pretty sure if I was a guard on duty or the CEO on duty, and this motherfucker pulled a gun on me, and I know he's killed all these other cops, I probably wouldn't have followed him. And he was like, let me out, and I won't shoot you. And he escaped. We all know what happened to him now. They called him outside that theater in Chicago and gunned him down. Gave him lead poisoning, if you will, ended his time. He wouldn't have to escape again. All right. Let's do one or two more. So there was a French prisoner named René Belbenoit, and he escaped from a penal colony on French Guiana on the 2nd of March of 1935 when he and five other prisoners took to the sea with a boat they had bought. Now, y'all, penal colonies, let's talk about that. Like, Australia was probably one of the first penal colonies. England, jails filled up and shit. They shipped them all to Australia, and just turn them loose. Hey, have fun. We're not going to guard you. We're not going to feed you. You live the way you want to live, right? Well, the French had their own, and it was French Guiana, and they turned them loose. Survival of the fittest and what have you. So at some point, these cats bought a boat, and they go to sea. And after a series of daring adventures, during which all the other escapees were captured, René Belbenois reached the United States in 1937. Right? That's a long fucking ways. And in 1938, his account, Dry Guillotine, was published. And Belbenois had written it in French, and it was translated into English by Preston Rambo, and it went through 14 printings in less than a year, y'all. It's like number one. If they had had a New York Times bestseller list, this cat's story would have been on it. And again, I don't know that why that hadn't been made into a movie. Or maybe it hasn't. I don't know about it. So, very, very interesting. All right. World War II time. Okay? We know what's going on. The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor to drag us into the war. But the war had been going on for many years. Italy and Germany against the world. Before they joined, you know, Japanese joined the Axis of Evil. But, you know, Japanese wanted our oil, they wanted expansion, etc. Now, at some point, that the Japanese soldier named Yoshi Shiratori was captured, right? Locked his ass up. But what, you know what happened? He broke out. They called him. Locked his ass up. You know what happened? He broke out again. I'm not repeating myself. They catch him again, lock him up, and he breaks out again. Y'all, he did this a total of four times. First, he broke out of the Aomori prison in 1936. Then he broke out, that was before we got into war. Then he broke out the Kita prison in 1942. And y'all know we were bombed. Pearl Harbor was bombed in December of 42. Then he broke out of the Abashiri prison in 1944. And then he broke out of the Sapporo prison in 1947. And this cat, y'all, they actually did a novel and a TV drama based on his true story. And it's called Hagoku. H-A-G-O-K-U. Wow. It's crazy. I'm going to do one more. All right. This, you know, of course, these are from around the world and every one of them interests me. It, you know, we've told you the stories on Bloody Angola. Now we're just telling you something from the rest of the world, right? So let's go to this one. There was a place named Fort San Cristobal. Now, y'all, it was located on top of a mountain, San Cristobal, which is very close to Pamplona, Spain. What's Pamplona, Spain famous for? The running of the bulls, right? When I was a young man, I always said I wanted to do that. And then you get drunk and you're running up these cobblestone streets and they turn the bulls loose. Well, guess what? The bulls can run faster on the cobblestone uphill than you can. Somebody's getting fucking gored, right? So too old to do that shit now and too smart. But anyway, San Cristobal Prison, located on top of Mount San Cristobal. It's like 4 miles or 4 kilometers from Pamplona, Spain. But it was built inside the mountain and it served as a prison, despite the fact that it had been obsolete since its opening in 1919 due to its weakness against aviation. Figure it out. And on 22nd of May, 1938, during the Spanish Civil War, around 30 prisoners organized a mutiny for a massive prison break, right? 792 prisoners fled the prison, but only three succeeded to get into the French border. 585 were arrested, 211 died, and 14 of the arrested who were considered to be the leaders were sentenced to death. And most of the fugitives were intercepted during the following days. And in 1988, when I was 18 years old, they made a sculpture erected in the honor and the memory of the prisoners who died there. And the fort ceased to be a prison in 1945.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Wow. Y'all, that's a touch on, and I'll probably do this again. I owe Jim Chapman so much, and I owe y'all, the listeners, so much. And I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. It was hard times, and, you know, of course, Jim stepped up like I would have for him had the situation been reversed. But thank y'all for continuing to listen and like and share Bloody Angola. We told you it would always be something different. I know this is different. Escapes fascinated me. I've actually been a part of several escapes. By that, I didn't escape myself, but I was on the manhunt for the people who escaped. Always high drama times. And I just gave you pretty much the most famous escapes from the time they started recording up until 1940-something. So hope you enjoyed the episode. It's different. I will continue these, and I've got a lot of them and a lot more famous ones, that y'all will know. I will continue them in the future when Jim and I aren't recording together. Sometimes these things happen, right? Life happens, things that happen beyond your control, but we love our fans. We love everything about Bloody Angola. We're like a year and a half, 2 years old now. Y'all made us the number one history podcast in the world last year on the People's Choice Award. I just love it so much. Patreon members, I'm about to record a Ask Me Anything with just me on it, because Jim did one when I was out, and it's going to be put up. I don't know when he's going to do it, probably this week. And we hope you enjoy it, right? And all your bonus stuff. I know your quarterly gifts just went out and stuff like that. Y'all, if you like Bloody Angola, there are so many Patreon episodes locked up, and there's different levels of Patreon that you can subscribe to. Go to patreon.com, type in Bloody Angola, and it'll pull it all up if you're so inclined. But this is a business, and y'all's subscriptions really make this show run. And there are a shit ton of episodes and bonuses and things that are given. So, and that's it for my brother Jim Chapman. I'm Woody Overton, and let's see if I can remember how this goes, because usually I'm sitting with Jim when I do it. But this is an edition of Bloody Angola, true story of America's Bloodiest Prison, a podcast 142 years in the making. And I'm for Jim Chapman. I'm Woody Overton, your host, Bloody Angola. Peace.
shackled chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.